and welcome to The Sound of Economics, podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I am Maria Demergis, Deputy Director of Bruegel, and joining me today for today's episodes are Gideon Rachman, Chief Foreign Affairs Commentator at the Financial Times.
Hello.
Manfred Weber, Chair of the EPP Group in the European Parliament.
Hello.
And Guntram Wolf, the Director here at Bruegel.
Hello.
Today we'll be discussing the future of euro area governance, and we have a number of questions that we can address and a very expert panel to help us address these questions with. Guntram, if I may possibly start with you, and thinking about euro area reform, one has to have certain priorities in mind. How would you go about ordering those priorities?
Well, I would say we've had these debates for a long time, and progress has been often very slow. But I think there is now a sort of a crystallization of what comes next and a pretty clear agenda. I think the first big point that we have to finalize is the very thorny issue of banking union. We have started the job, but we haven't finished it. And so I sort of like finishing the job. So I think that should be first. Now, I think the second point I would emphasize is let's be serious about reforming the current budget, the EU budget. We have an EU budget. It's the budget of the European Union. I do think there's scope to reshuffle priorities and show to citizens the value added of European money. And I think that will improve the vision and the perception of Europe also. And so I think once you move there, then you can gradually have a discussion on the more thorny fiscal capacity stabilization issues in the Eurozone. But frankly, I don't see us making serious progress with that in the next years.
I see. So you're saying that there is we've started a job, but we're not finishing. If I may, turn to you, Manfred, a big job to be done and still needs to be finished. Do you think we are moving too slow? Could we go faster? And what could we go faster on?
I would first of all sum up and would say the rescue mechanism after the big financial crisis in 2008-09-10 is a big success story. We have now 2.5% growth rate. We are creating jobs even for the young generation, which is the most important point. And investment is going on. The euro is a global currency. It's really respected on a global level. So we are back. Europe is back with the euro. And that is the positive thing. And now I think it's wise for us as politicians to use the current positive economic framework for doing the finalization of the steps which are necessary. We did in crisis times a lot of good things, some things we can check still and consider whether we can make it better, but there is still things to do. And I think the base for the decision is the proposals from the Commission in December, so the December package about European Monetary Fund, about the face of Europe, and the question of a possible asymmetric shock, absorption mechanism. That is in the center of the debate. And I see the political momentum there because we have the Sorbonne speech of Macron. We have hopefully in a few weeks' time a new government in Germany with the re-election of Angela Merkel. And having these points in mind, there's a political momentum on the table. Mm-hmm. Let's use now 2018.
Interesting. So we've made a lot of progress. Europe is back, Gideon. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think certainly if you talk to people around the world now, I mean, they've got a lot bigger things to worry about than Europe, which was different 3 years ago. You know, if you were to talk to investors in America 3 years ago, they were very worried or very, you know, it's the front of their mind, the euro crisis. That's over now. And that is credit to Europe that it's not a problem. Listening to the debate, though, about the eurozone, I wonder whether, you know, one side effect of that is that the urgency for eurozone reform is draining away. That people in good times, they say, well, things have settled down. These are really difficult decisions. There's not really consensus. So maybe we're only going to take baby steps. And maybe that'll be okay. And you won't have another crisis. Or perhaps in 5-10 years' time, you'll say, why didn't we use this time? But it seems to me that behind that, as far as I can tell, and I admit I'm a kind of occasional visitor in and out of Brussels, Berlin, Paris, there still is, despite a great will on the German and French side in general to work together, quite a divergence of view and a lack of basic trust. I think that there is a German fear of a transfer union. There is a kind of French frustration. The Germans won't go further. I don't think that, as far as I can see, has been resolved.
But when you say trust of whom for whom? Is it between countries or is it about European institutions or is it?
I think it's, well, my reading of it is it's politicians reflecting what they think their voters will accept. I mean, you know, particularly as journalists, I deal in anecdotes, but there's one episode that stuck in my mind. I remember going to the Chancellery in Berlin, and I'd just been to see the French, and they were saying, the French embassy, and they'd said, well, you know, one thing we should really be looking at is common unemployment insurance in Europe as a shock stabilizer, etc. And I put this to my interlocutor at the Chancellery, and he just burst out laughing and just said, no way, forget it. You know, and it seemed to me that there was just this sense that they said, you know, we can see that that's a ruse that we just can't get past our voters. It's not going to happen. We have a real German politician here, so what do you think?
No, I'm a European politician.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That is one of the problems, yeah. I'm really the leader of the EPP group, so that's and we are immediately occupied, because when my group is tomorrow deciding on a Euro paper about what we think for the future of the Eurozone, and there we have a common understanding. So the colleagues from the Partia Popolare in Spain, from Forza Italia in Italy, from Fidesz in Hungary, and CDU-CSU in Germany, we have a common understanding that for the moment it's not the right the right time to make such a labor unemployment insurance for the European Union, because we have this in national responsibilities. If you do this, then it would immediately mean that we do all the regulation for labor markets on European level, because you cannot have the responsibility for legislation on national level, but the payments on European level. That will not work. And nobody in my group, it's not a German thing, nobody in my group thinks about this. So what I appeal is, what I think is, we should not discuss Europe, first of all, always from the national perspective. We should discuss it from a party political perspective, from different orientation between left and right and liberals and so on. If Germany would have had during the last years a socialist chancellor, we would have today Eurobonds, I'm sure. So that's about not Germany or France or something like this. It's about what you believe in. And we think that, first of all, market is important, market mechanisms are important. That is my position of my group. And to implement now structures which bring back market structures.
But can I ask, there's no urgency for reform, and we can only afford baby steps. Gundram, is this enough?
I think I'm also tending to be more on the positive and optimistic side. I think 10 years ago we were nowhere where we are now. And if you look at all the little baby steps that were in the end in the sum really not baby steps, I think what has happened in the last year is that we've really created a huge amount of discourse, huge amount of debate, huge amount of institutions. So I think we've come very far in the last 10 years, and that's also one reason why the situation is now more stable and we have growth, as Manfred Weber rightly said. So I think the key question now is, given all these political fights, in which direction will it go further, right?
Yeah.
And so one issue is, of course, the institutional reform in Europe. Will we have Spitzenkandidaten, yes or no? Will we get a transnational list, which I actually think would be a good idea? I mean, to have a transnational list, to have a trans-European debate and more represented European Parliament that would be more representative of its citizens than the current one. So I think that's the sort of reforms on which we are moving now. While I totally agree, sort of now jumping into an unemployment insurance for everybody, it's just not possible, because labor market institutions have been created in the 19th century by Bismarck and so on. So, you know, we're not going to change that very anytime soon. So,
but do you think that the people in Europe are ready for transnationalists, or they still associate politicians with local politicians?
Well, they do that, but I think at the same time, if they only do that, then we don't create the European space. And, you know, we want the European Parliament to be the parliament of European debate.
Well, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Sound of Economics. And thanks to my guests, Gideon, Manfred, and Guntram. You can find more of Bruegel's work, including blogs and papers written by our scholars, on our website at www.bruegel.org. I hope you will join us again for The Sound of Economics. Until next time, goodbye.